Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Serious question that I will ask on behalf of someone else asking it, and he'll join us here in a moment. Real quick, house cleaning. I know we were just talking about the Deion Prime stuff and that he hates Florida State, and you said not quite sure why. I don't know the genesis of it. I don't know, but I know him not getting hired there was certainly part of it. But don't forget that story that he told about Kendall Briles, who was the TCU OC, who was the quarterback's coach and OC at Florida State. They had Shador there when he was in high school.
Yeah, but that's a different coaching staff. If you're still holding like a grudge at your alma mater because a coach that was there didn't treat your son the right way and he's not there anymore, like that's, to me, that's like...
A little bit too much?
Well, yeah, like, wouldn't you think, like if it was at my school, so Louisiana Lafayette, and my son was going to go there, and we're going to go to a camp, and one of the coaches just wasn't, you know, treating him like the way that I thought he should be treated, but that coach is gone now, I'm not going to hold that over my university's head.
You know what I'm saying? You definitely shouldn't. Right? But I remember the quote that he shared when Shador turned to him and said, we're never coming back here again.
Yeah.
So I don't know how that, you know, you just don't know how you... You know, the sensitivity
I blame the coach.
To it. No
I blame
doubt.
That coach.
No,
you know, doubt. Like, I don't like that guy.
Right.
That's where I would be at. Not my university has nothing to
right.
do with it.
But,
you know, to each his own.
But maybe that combined with right. passing sure. on me. Like, dude, yeah. I am Florida State. Okay. We'll circle back to the CU conversation because I got some more buyout numbers I want to bounce off of you, and we'll do that with a CU guy, which just happens to be sitting down. In our studio here, it's James Merrillat, editor at denversports.com. I'll ask the question on your behalf and let you answer it because I saw you were on Twitter this morning. One of our guys sent us your tweet that you believe, James, that Russell Wilson is being set up to fail in 2023.
Already.
Yeah.
2 weeks in.
No. I've been I've been saying this for 3 or 4 weeks. And look, people are going to look at this like it's something malicious. If it's intentional, it's sabotage. I don't think it's sabotage. You can still set someone up to fail, though. You can still put them in a bad position to where, hey, they have very little chance of success here. And I'm sitting in the stands on Sunday, watching this team play.
Same place you stood since 1971.
That's right. And I'm thinking, thank God they spent millions on this scoreboard so they could fail to show me replays.
Uh-oh.
Oh, come on.
Coming at the game operations.
Wait, so they're not... Because I can't see.
I haven't seen the onside kick.
I got replays on the TV right in front of me, but so you're not...
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, I know. It's
so, like, they do show them on the TV. And the
suite holders get to see the replays.
No,
those of us out there in the stands that are standing in line to go to the bathroom.
Right, no?
We don't get all the replays.
That's a bummer. No, but seriously, so that not really showing... Why not? Why, like...
It's hit and miss. I don't know. Anything that's borderline controversial, they don't show.
I was going to say, do they not want to show any negative plays for the Broncos?
I guess.
Because that's too old school. It's 2023. Like, we could be home. I'll watch every replay that
they'll
show me.
Exactly. You come in there, so like an hour before kickoff, went ahead and went to my seats, and they're showing the Bengals game on one screen, and then I'm watching Garrett Bowles stretch on the big, giant new TV. Like, how about showing all the red zone games? Mm. Well, how about using that big,
hey, we'll see.
Big
well,
new screen maybe,
maybe
for
they'll,
that.
Maybe they'll.
You want to know what was so cool? March Madness being down at the Pepsi Center. They had the game on the floor, and then they would flash to another game up on the Jumbotron. I never saw that. It's like, this is amazing.
It's so smart. Cool. And like you said, it's 2023. Let's not act like it's 1985.
Yeah.
So anyhow, in terms of Russ being set up to fail, I'm sitting in the stands. I'm watching this game. And it's what I've told everybody. And it wasn't about Albert O specifically, but Albert O was the tipping point of, okay, you traded away another playmaker. How many blocking tight ends do you need? And I wrote about it at denversports.com when Tim Patrick got hurt. You going to make the same mistake you did a year ago when you said, oh, Brandon Johnson and Kendall Hinton and KJ Hamler, they can fill the void. This year it's, oh, Brandon Johnson and Marvin Mims and, you know, Lord Jordan Humphrey.
What did you want him to do? Did you point out in the piece what you wanted to do?
You know, there's Julio Jones, Jarvis Landry. There's a lot of veteran guys out there.
Come on.
You could go sign. Go make a deal. I don't know. Get creative. Guys,
that's why Stokely's
still available to
you. Right, yeah, thank you. Put me in the mix.
Well, I guess,
you might as well. You call it, I mean,
you know what?
They're ancient.
If you had ever had a cup of coffee with the Saints, you probably would be down there because that's all Sean Payton does. But.
That's not fair.
I'm watching this group out there. It is a pedestrian batch of running backs. Now, maybe Javonte Williams will become more than pedestrian at some point, but he's not. He's coming back from his injury. It's a pedestrian group of running backs. It's especially once Greg Dulcich got hurt. You want to look at why the second half was 3 points? They didn't have another playmaker on the field because he got hurt on the last drive of the first half.
Might be the worst tight end room in football.
It's unbelievably bad.
Right now.
Which was my point when the Albert O trade happened.
Albert O's going to make it worse.
Look
what they had in the second half.
You want to get playmakers? Albert O's not a playmaker.
And you know what I get tired of hearing about? It's the local media who just repeats the talking points about what a great run blocker Chris Manhertz is. Like, they ever watched Manhertz play in New Orleans. And you know what? We finally saw a Manhertz moment the other day. It was a penalty. That was the only time we've seen him do anything in orange and blue.
On Jaleel McLaughlin's first run.
Whether it was training camp or a preseason game or now a regular season game, that's your Manhertz moment. So let's go ahead and find a sponsor for that and put it up on the scoreboard since we're not showing us any replays. So, and then you look at the receiver room, it's Cortland Sutton, who, you guys laughed at me when I said they should make him a tight end. Maybe he could get separation from a linebacker because he can't on a cornerback. That guy is just no longer a number one receiver. Without Jerry Jeudy, it's Marvin Mims, it's Brandon Johnson, it's a bunch of guys who can't get open. But we're expecting, with no playmakers around him, we're expecting Russell Wilson to just...
How much money is he making?
This ain't chicken salad that they're asking him to make. They're asking him to make, you know, chicken cordon bleu with what they're serving him. It's ridiculous. He was the best player in an orange jersey on Sunday by a country mile. I haven't even got to the defensive side of the ball. Randy Gregory, five years, $70 million. One tackle. That was his stat line. One tackle. Completely ineffective. Might as well not have been suited up. They introduced the starting defense for the game.
How did you have the Broncos winning 12 games then?
Jerry Jeudy hadn't gotten hurt at that point.
Jerry Judy's worth.
Tim Patrick hadn't gotten hurt at that point. Albert O was still on this roster.
Albert
at
O.
That point. Oh,
stop goodness. Saying Albert O. Don't say Albert O again.
But
like,
this is a GM that sits on his hands.
Albert O. Like, Albert O's an 80 catch tight end. Like, we just lost. Dang, Travis Kelce.
And everybody else saw it, right? Of like, hey, why were they in the Dalvin Cook rumors? Why were they in the Jonathan Taylor rumors? Because everybody else saw it. But in this town, it's like, oh, we got Javonte. I mean, I got my jersey. And we got Jaleel McLaughlin, who, you know, all-time rushing leader in NCAA history and all the rest of this nonsense. He's been set up to fail because they have not put any talent or enough talent around him. Now, maybe when Jerry Jeudy comes back and if he plays on Sunday, it'll be a little bit different. But I was talking about how they have a tight end room full of a bunch of blocking tight ends before Dulcich got hurt. Now who in that group scares you?
And
the,
no one.
The play
this is why we picked the Broncos to be a loser.
The play that like, led them to be...
Yeah. You're pointing out all the things that we already understand why we had the Broncos being a loser.
You're just catching up.
But the three and out...
Where we were a month ago.
The three and out on their last possession of the game. Right? He hits Adam Trautman, who's one-on-one. Make a play. And he gets tackled. It's like, I get it. We're counting on Adam Trautman to try and make a play here.
That was the problem.
Well, it's both of them. It's the fact that they don't have a guy who can make the play.
You know, he had a great game last night. 13 carries for 33 yards. I wonder what you would have been saying about him today after we paid him, you know, $7 million to come over here. I mean, Dalvin, 13 for 33, 2.5 per carry. I mean, like, so,
hey,
I mean, you can't just point to these names and just say, why don't we go get this guy? This is a fantasy
quarterback who nobody expected to play, and they put everybody in the box, and they took away the run. Like,
Breece Hall had 10 for 127. Same team, same situation.
It's a little bit of a different situation, but that's okay. We can share the stats.
No, but James, this is what we were saying. We're saying, you know, and I'm kind of clumping me and Stokely together here. It's like, you don't have a slot receiver. You don't have a tight end.
This offensive line is average at best.
Yeah, looks terrible.
And they were actually fine on Sunday. The offensive line was fine.
Let me ask you this, because you were more bullish than anyone on Russell Wilson.
He was great on Sunday.
And I saw you get your victory lap started in the first half.
He was great.
And you're going to pop your Achilles like Aaron on your victory lap here.
Wow.
I mean, that's a shot. Let me ask you this.
I'm at least making fun of the anonymous scoreboard guy.
What player of all the guys that you just went to is Russell Wilson elevating? Your $50 million quarterback. He's supposed to raise and get the best out of someone. Who did he get the best out of, and who are you expecting him to get the best out of here?
Well, the two touchdowns they scored were primarily because of him. He bought time, rolled out to his right, and threw darts. So he elevated Cortland Sutton, who finally got in the end zone. How many touchdowns is that for Cortland Sutton in the last two calendar years?
I think it's... I think he had two last year.
So
I think it might be his third.
I mean, when you're picking guys up off the floor, just getting them to stand up is elevating him. Little Jordan Humphrey, right? He got in the end zone. That's an elevation. Adam Trautman had his career game. That's elevating him. So, I mean, you can only do so much, right? I mean,
he's walking around
and it's a bunch of Lazaruses. You can only elevate him so much.
Here's the problem.
Old Testament
James.
On us.
Well, you know.
Wow.
He's a bunch of Lazarus. Lazarus is the guy who raised from the dead.
Correct.
Is that the old or the new?
I think that's old.
Okay.
Russ has got a lot of skills, but he ain't doing that.
Listen,
he looked good on Sunday. He really did.
He looked fine. It was a lot of dinking and dunking. It was a lot of short passes. Okay, yeah, he was accurate with the football.
But that's a personnel issue.
No, it's not. You got to
play in one safety.
That's
one safety, and they still don't throw the ball down the field.
Whose fault is that?
It's play caller, the guys who can't get open, the guys who are no threat. And the Raiders' game plan was pretty simple. We're going to come up and we're going to press you. We're going to play one safety, and if they happen to get past you, just grab them.
Mark's telling me they're playing shell coverage. Slayer's telling me they're playing shell coverage, and we can't possibly run. Like, Mark's making it seem like they're playing 40 yards off of us. Like, we can't throw it deep, so we got to throw everything underneath.
I'm not buying that at all. They don't have anybody that can create separation. That's the issue.
There you go. I would lean more towards that right now. Sorry, I interrupted you
because I'm fired up.
No, that's fine. Look, I'm the last person to get mad at someone for interrupting them.
Well said.
Thank you, Zach. I know my faults.
Yes,
all right, I know them. But here's my issue, James, with what you said. To a certain degree, I thought Russ was fine. It was better. But when it mattered the most, you've got to make some plays.
Agreed.
You just do. And there was two possessions there at the end of football games, and that's when it matters the most. I'm not here to dump on Russ. But that's when it matters the most, and that's when we need you the most. And it's first and goal inside the 10, right? And you throw it to Trautman. Okay, it's a good play. You get to the 4-yard line. Then it was an RPO, and I don't know, like, hand the ball off maybe and don't try to be the star like it didn't work for you in Seattle. Let's just see if we can plow one in there.
That was the play of the game.
And he pulled it and tried to throw it to Brandon Johnson. Then now third down again, he made two plays in the red zone getting out of the pocket. He probably got out too early. Now Crosby's there waiting for him. He's just got to throw it away. Good job throwing it away, but we have to settle for three. Need you in those situations. The last drive, second pass play, after running the ball, which – I don't know if you should see that blitzer coming off the edge or not, but you run right into it, you lose a yard, and then, probably his worst pass of the game to Cortland Sutton. Footwork was awful, kind of stepping towards
throwing
it backwards to an open Cortland Sutton, dirting it there. Now you're 3rd and 11. So
Should Sutton have caught that ball? I don't think
he had a chance.
But here's the thing.
I think it was, at first I did, but then once I re-saw it, I was like, it looked like it bounced a couple times.
The stick said it hit him in the hands, he should have caught
it. The touchdown catch last night.
Who said that?
His stick.
Oh, God.
The touchdown catch last night, Garrett Wilson.
Oh, gosh. It might have. I don't know. I got to go back. I don't want to bash him enough.
Just having fun with Mark.
But the touchdown last night by Garrett Wilson, right?
Yeah. That was insane.
Right.
That's playing above the X's and O's.
That's making your quarterback look good. And that's a touchdown pass for Zach Wilson that wasn't a particularly good throw. And we're talking about Russ here. And yes, could the throw to Cortland Sutton have been better? Yes. Could the ball that Philip Dorsett just wandered out of bounds?
Oh, God, I mean, you got to stay in bounds.
He had no sense of where the boundaries are? Yeah, if you'd have thrown that more inside, he wouldn't have drifted that way. But that's on Philip Dorsett. But it's to the point, based on what's around him, that Russell Wilson quite literally has to play perfect. I mean, he's 17 and 19 in the first half. One of the incompletions was him down on the ball.
But he only threw, like, he threw everything 2 yards, it seemed like. I mean, so, I mean, he was 17 for 19 for what? I mean, how many yards?
It was like a buck 29.
Buck 29? I mean, that's...
And he did very little in the second half.
That's not anything to write home about. I mean, I like the completion percentage. I do. How many points did he score in the first half?
13.
So that's not bad.
But the completion percentage, if you're just looking at the box score, it's like... What they call it's like gilded, it's shiny, but it's not really worth anything underneath because his yards per completion were the same as Samaje Perine's yards per rush. That's not what you're looking for.
Again, but who was he supposed to throw it to that was, let's go, if we went through the film, are we going to find a bunch of times where Brandon Johnson's running wide open and Russ missed him? We're not. Are we going to find a bunch of plays that he left on the field? We're not. Like, what is he supposed to do with this cast of characters? There is only so much when you've got a bunch of guys that, quite frankly, should be on practice squads and Cortland Sutton, who should be a third receiver, and a bunch of tight ends who wouldn't make most rosters. What are you supposed to do? I get it. He makes a ton of money, and he should elevate people. I think the fact that he's getting any completions to guys that should be on practice squads is elevating
people.
No,
he's not elevating guys, though.
But
he's not, James.
He's going to have to be perfect. And here's the one thing I would say. It's the fourth time since 1993 a team's only had six possessions in a game. I mean, it was a quirky, weird game. They scored on three of the six. They missed a field goal on the other one, so that's four out of six. They actually were somewhat efficient on offense, if you think about it.
Yeah, I know, and that's what everyone keeps telling me. It's like, no, they were actually efficient with their, you know, they averaged this many points per possession, and if you had more of them, then you'd be able to score more. And I could hit one good golf shot per hole, if I stop after 12 holes, like I say, if I kept playing, I would have hit more, but other stuff would have happened too.
I get it, but the biggest issue is this defense can't get people off the field still.
They're a huge issue. They are.
I mean, they are. And you know what? Part of the problem is we keep changing coaches, we keep changing some of the personnel, and you keep having guys around here that have been a part of the losing who don't make plays. You know who made a losing play? Kareem Jackson.
Yeah, I agree.
Right? Losing play. It's third and 12. The guy's falling down. He's going to be short of the first down. And you come up and drill him in the head.
No, that's a losing play.
I thought he was down when he got hit.
Find me the Kareem Jackson.
Am I thinking
of maybe the Justin Simmons play? No, Justin Simmons. Right. He was down and yes, Justin Simmons fine. Came flying in.
Another guy who's been here for all the losing. Right? So we all talk about the big interception he had against the Jaguars in London last year.
Fine line.
Where are the winning plays that these guys make?
Look, we could sit on our couch or in the stadium and try to criticize, but I've been out there. It's moving fast.
And all of a sudden,
if you pull up and that guy lunges forward, you know, if you're Kareem Jackson, I don't know about Justin's as much. If you're Kareem Jackson, it's the end of the game. And he's right at the line, this guy is, and he's diving he's going forward.
Yep.
And if you don't hit him and he dives forward, everyone's gonna be like, dude, you know?
Okay.
Why'd you turn that down? You know, why'd you Teddy Bridgewater? I mean, so you gotta play aggressive, and it was a shame that it was like, you know, he hit his helmet, but that's just part of football.
Okay, so how about this one? It's 3rd and 7, 2-minute warning, you're out of timeouts, game's on the line. Where is Randy Gregory?
Yeah.
Where's DJ
right.
Jones?
You're right.
Absolutely. Where's Zach Allen?
And they blitzed. They brought five or six. I know at least five they brought to try to get pressure, and nothing.
Nothing.
No, you're absolutely spot on.
I mean, you got to make a play there, and it happens year after year, game after game after game, because you keep trying to win with a bunch of guys that we love, Alex Singleton and Josie Jewell. All right, what did they do late in the game? Right, we love DJ Jones and Jonathan Harris.
Well, I mean, what do you want to do, Jay? Like, who do you want to get?
You know, when they trade away Bradley Chubb and Zach and I are on the air, and I'm talking about how I hate the move. We got all the texters telling us, well, they got Jonathan Cooper and they got Nick Benito. I mean, those are two guys that were on milk cartons the other day.
I don't think paying Bradley Chubb $100 million is their mutually exclusive.
I mean, they were a hell of a lot better defense last year before they traded away Bradley Chubb. You know what they were after they traded Bradley Chubb? The same crap we saw on Sunday where they can't get people off.
James,
the
I think we're agreeing,
they can't make
on,
plays.
We're agreeing on almost everything. That's the kicker. You're going through and like itemizing the Broncos, and I'm sitting here and you're saying the same stuff that we have said before the season started. That's why we had the Broncos as a losing team. But here's where we like our paths diverge is you're making it all about Russ that like this is, Russ is being set up to fail.
He was the best player on the field.
All right. The Broncos are being set up to fail. It's not about Russell Wilson. It's about the Broncos, and Russell is not an elevator at all. Like, at all.
Okay, so are you telling me?
This is how I know the Broncos are in trouble. When you say Russell's the best player on the field, and I'm getting told he played great, and the Broncos scored 16 points
lost. What was the conversation?
That's how you know we're in trouble.
What was the conversation after the Kansas City Chiefs lost on their home field to start the year? It was, man, you take away Tyreek Hill, you take away Travis Kelce, all of a sudden even Patrick Mahomes looked pretty pedestrian.
Well, you're throwing Hill in there. They were the best offense in football without him a year ago.
I get it, but you take away enough weapons, and all of a sudden he's not elevating Tony, who can't catch the ball. I mean, you could make the same argument.
It wasn't really on him. Patrick Mahomes actually played great.
Why can't he elevate him? Why can't he get him to? Why can't he get him to catch the ball? I mean, they got 20 points at home against the Lions.
I know, but he's got guys dropping the ball. If Russ was out there dropping dimes like Mahomes was, and guys weren't catching it, we'd be agreeing.
Which quarterbacks in the league with Cortland Sutton, Brandon Johnson, Marvin Mims, Adam Trautman, Samaje Perine is your five main weapons? Which quarterback in the league is going to put up 30 and you get six possessions?
Well, with the six possessions shoehorned in there, I mean, not many. There's not enough.
And but you're what matters, here's what matters, okay? Like, you keep going back to the six possessions is your last two possessions. You've got to be better. You got to finish that drive off with a touchdown. And I don't know what he's being taught. You know, that, like we said, that RPO play on that second down, huge play. I mean, you're right. I think it's second and goal from the 3 or 4 yard line. And it looked like to me that it was an RPO and he kind of rode the running back and he decided to raise up and throw the football.
Yeah.
Not sure what he's being taught or coached there. If it was just a fake run and we're going to hit Brandon Johnson or if it was a true RPO. But, you know, so like, I don't know. That might have been a big X on Russ. He might have got a negative.
Maybe.
He might have got a red on that one. And on the play after that, you escaped. You got out of the pocket too quick. So
maybe.
A lot of things that we as, you know, just as fans don't really know in certain situations, we might not be, you know, being able to see the full picture.
And I'm not saying
some
he was,
of the negatives
I'm not
there.
Saying he was perfect by any means. Right? And the plays you outlined are good examples. But you talked about how, hey, why did I pick this team to go 12-5? One, they were healthier then. By the time the season started, I was down to 10-7 because they didn't replace Tim Patrick. Jerry Jeudy was on the sideline. And that was the Sean Payton effect. I give Sean Payton an F for his first game. An F. I mean, you're out there. And I heard you guys talk about it yesterday. You hit the nail on the head with this kicker situation. If you're going to cut Brandon McManus and you don't have a plan, then you go through the entire preseason with snapper, holder, kicker being one combination. The first time Will Lutz kicked anything in a game with the Broncos uniform on was the extra point that he shanked, and that was the difference in the game. Then you get down there, what was it, 4th-and-3 at the 37, and you decide to settle for a 55-yard field goal. Are you a riverboat gambler like you showed on the onside kick, or are we playing conservative? Pick a lane, Sean.
Yeah,
which one are we doing here?
He was disjointed a bit. I do agree with that part.
Like, hey, we're here to win it, and we're taking advantage of every possession. You could make the same argument when now it's 4th-and-goal and it's a 13-10 game. Do you try and put away the Raiders there? Because as odd as this sounds, the Raiders had scored 10 points. The Broncos hadn't really stopped them. I didn't think they were going to prevent the Raiders from running out the clock at the end of the game. They could not get them off the field. Other than the fluky bounce interception in the end zone. So Sean Payton needs to figure out what's his personality and stop being gambler in one point and Mr. Conservative in another, and I'm going to rely on my defense. He needs to pick a lane. I give him an F for his first game. And I mean, Nathaniel Hackett could have turned in that performance.
No. Let's not go there.
Vic Fangio
I liked the way he schemed things up offensively for Russ. I felt like he held his hand there, and that's why we saw a lot of the dinking and dunking. That's why you feel like Russ was the best player out there. You got to give Sean some credit for that.
Sean also put together this roster that has virtually no skill position players that makes who. If you're
I don't know if you can put the roster
right,
No,
you can't. Some of the moves you could put on him, certainly, but you can't put the whole roster.
Who's Ron Rivera losing sleep worried about this week? Nobody.
I agree. All right, wow. We covered a lot of ground there. Really good conversation. You better win this weekend, or you're going to see Jarrett Stidham on the backstretch.
Maybe.
You're going to see Jarrett Stidham on the backstretch of the season.
On my way out, I just got to get this in. How about those Buffs?
Hey, how about those Buffs, man? They are crushing it.
Yes, sir.
They are crushing it. Okay. Shifting gears here a little bit, got to tell you about the Kings Supers fan football pick'em. I'm going to do this read, and then I'm going to go into the hallway and eat pizza, courtesy of Brandon Stokely, who had to buy me lunch this week, because I got him, coach! But you can...
The site was down!
He said the site was down. I haven't heard that. We've been doing this. I haven't heard that one yet. That's good. Creative. You can still get registered. The weekly winner gets $250 to my friends at Kings Supers. Register now at denversports.com/picks. It costs nothing to get involved. And even if you missed this past week, you can still jump on board, and you'll be eligible to win by week. All right? Okay. Shifting gears here a little bit. The Broncos have a big liability on the defensive side of the ball. And the question I asked is, can it be fixed? That's next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Zach.
A pretty big liability on the defensive side of the ball. Can it be fixed? Now, I could be talking about three or four different things here, but the person I'm talking about, the human being I'm talking about, is Damari Mathis.
Yeah.
What did you make of Damari Mathis on Sunday?
He struggled, obviously. You know, watching him last year, he had the game where he had a bunch of those pass interference, I believe, calls, you know, penalties, excuse me, and struggled, right? But overall, I was like, okay, bounced back and started making some plays. And I was excited about watching him this year. Seemed like he had a pretty good camp.
It did.
And when you play opposite of Pat Surtain, you're going to get a lot of action, okay? Until you show that you can make plays and be open to those challenges, guess what? They're going to continue to throw at you over and over and over again. Where's Surtain at? Okay, we're going opposite. That's just what they're going to do, folks. Right? So, I mean, it's not going to stop. They're not going to feel bad for you because you're struggling a little bit. Just got to start making a few plays. That's what you got to do. You just got to start making a few plays, and it's a tough position to play. It really is. Especially in today's NFL, you're not going to get the benefit of the doubt out there. They're going to keep attacking you. So, I don't know. I mean, I guess in certain situations, you know, coaches could help you out maybe a little bit, but not really. Not really. Yeah, we're not going to sit there and play cover two.
Right.
We're not that type of defense where you got a safety over the top. So, you just got to go out there and make some plays, you know, Zach. And unfortunately, like I said, guess what? It's only going to get more and more. People see it on film. You know, it's like they start salivating. They're ready. They want more. You know, the receivers see that, like, okay, yeah, that's where we want to go.
We're going to eat.
Quarterbacks see it. Offensive coordinators see it. I mean, that's where they're going to attack consistently game in and game out until you start making some plays. So it will continue this week with Sam Howell and that receiving crew that they have, which has got a lot of weapons.
All right. Well, wide receiver-wise this weekend, you're going to see Terry McLaurin. You're going to see Jahan Dotson. You're going to see Curtis Samuel. Yep.
Good group.
Yeah. Kind of underrated a little bit in terms of, like, you know, fantasy football stuff or whatever. But solid group.
Terry McLaurin is a top 10 receiver.
Yeah, he's a dude. Yeah.
He's the real deal. And then the other guys are, you know, Curtis Samuel's a little bit like of a guy you can do a lot of different things with, a jack of all trades type of receiver. Mm-hmm. Well, you'll see them hand him the football and things like that on jet sweeps. So, but yes, a good group there.
Damari Mathis, this past Sunday, Jimmy Garoppolo had a 150 passer rating when targeting Mathis, according to Pro Football Focus. Jimmy G threw at Mathis 9 times, including both touchdowns to Jacoby Myers. Passes thrown on Mathis produced 95 yards on 8 receptions. 6 of those 8 were catches going to Jacoby Myers. And
What do you make of it? What do you think? I mean, what do you think? I mean, bench him? Let him try to fight through it? I mean, what are you going to do?
Well, I don't think you can bench him.
What other options do we have?
Well, if you wanted to, I mean, it's just too early to bench him. But if you wanted to, just looking forward, I mean, Isang Bassi, I mean, Riley Moss is banged up, right? I mean, he's...
Yeah, I think he probably started on IR, I would think, or PUP or something, but he's not... I don't think he's available right now. I'm not 100% sure, but he didn't practice all the camp. He had some kind of hernia surgery or whatever. So, no, we're not putting him in. He's a rookie. So he's not going in right now. Yeah, like, you got to let him try to work it out.
Yeah.
See, he's a young football player. You're not going to give up on him after one game. But certainly, yeah, you're starting to look at these other guys, like you said, you know, Bassey or whoever, right? I mean, that's where you're at because it was a bad start.
It was.
It's not going to get any easier. I mean, Jacoby Myers?
Yeah.
I hadn't really watched him play a whole lot, but he's good. He is good, man. He's good. Like, he's got good moves. He's got good. You can see why the Raiders picked him up in free agency. He's a good wide receiver when he's not trying to throw passes at the end of the games. Mm. He's the one that did that last year against the Raiders, right?
Was that New England?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's who he played
for.
He's the one that tried to throw it across his body in a tied game with 3 seconds left, and Mad Max intercepted it and stiffed arm. Mac Jones,
Yes, that's right. Good memory.
So that was Jacoby Myers that threw it.
Wow.
So just as long as he's running, he's like, I watched him, you know, run some of those routes in the game, and like, okay, I see you. Like, he's got some good quickness, runs good routes, catches the ball well. So it's not like he's a, you know, he's not a good player out there. He is, but this is what you're going to see. I mean, you don't think you're going to see good receivers when you face the Chiefs,
right?
Are the Chargers?
Well, how
Mike
about
Williams, Keenan Allen, and the rookie from TCU, the Dolphins?
There you go.
Tyree,
that's in 2 weeks.
But Jalen Waddle.
That's what I'm saying. And that's what I'm saying. Jalen Waddle, who walked in the league and I believe set the rookie record for receptions in NFL history with 104 out of the gate, over 1,000 yards as a rookie. And then last year was over 1,300 yards. He's the secondary receiver. That means Tamari Mathis is going to be lined up a lot of times with Jalen Waddle. And I tell you, that just scares the living you-know-what out of me. So, again, I was going to ask you, is there a way to mask this? Is there a way to just get in your defensive bag and get creative to try to protect this kid?
You can try. There's certain things that you can do. Like I said, you can play, you can roll the coverage that way, which, you know what I mean? Roll the coverage. Like, you have a safety over the top and he kind of sits there at about 5 yards and reroutes the receivers and just play zone. So you can play a little bit more zone. I think they did that on the second touchdown catch. I don't know if it was man to man. I think it was more zone in that situation and he was kind of outside leverage. You could do some things, you know, to help him out and not play maybe as much man. But, you know, eventually it does become man, because if that guy's in your zone,
right,
then unless it's cover two where you're just sitting at five and you got a safety over the top, then you're going to be running around with these receivers a lot of the time and you got to make plays. So, yes, there's things to try to help, but dang, you know, I mean, you can't baby him. It's just like, if that's the case and you can't play your defenses, then, you know, that you want, then you just move on.
Yeah.
Right? This isn't a cover two team. And that's what I say when you roll the coverage over the top there and have the safety help. You play more quarters where they're both playing a quarter of the field, the safety and the cornerback. But if the receiver's in your area, you're pretty much playing a man-to-man. You got to make some plays. Yeah. This is not... it's not Pop Warner.
Yeah.
So you got to go out there and do it. And if not, then you're not the right guy to play for the Denver Broncos. It's time to move on. But I don't think we're there yet at all. I don't think we're there yet. But he definitely struggled. Needs to get better. But it's not the first cornerback we see struggle.
That is for sure. All right. Get your phone out. We're going to give something away. We are going to be live at Brothers Barbecue off I-25 and Arapahoe on Thursday from noon to 2 with another edition of our War Room series. So much fun. You can come grab lunch and listen and hang out. Take a picture. Give a pound to Brandon Stokely. James Merrillat will be there. No Sean Marino will be there. Nate Jackson will be there. Cecil Lammy will be there. All right, we're going to discuss where Russ and Sean Payton are heading going into week 2 against Washington. And with that, we are giving away a $50 gift card to Brothers Barbecue right now to caller number 4 at 303-713-1043. Best of luck to all of our callers and congrats to the winner. Brothers Barbecue is just the best. Okay, the Broncos lead the NFL in one key stat, not just in the first week of the season, But over the last 6 years, I'll tell you what that is coming up next.
You're listening to Stokely and Zach on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Broncos lead the National Football League in one key stat. Not just this season, but over the last 6 years, the Denver Broncos lead the NFL in one stat that you do not want the title of.
Oh, so it's a bad stat to lead. I mean, there's a lot to choose from, Zach. There's a lot of candidates here.
Where does your head go?
Oh, man. The last 6 years, man, it goes into a lot of different places. Dark places. Dark.
Dark.
Very dark. And unwanted places. Like, okay. All right, well, like lowest win percentage, like most losses, most blowout losses, most... games that you were favored that you lost. I mean, just like it's unlimited. I mean, that's what it is. It's just like you could just keep going down this road of bad things, and it could be one of them. Where, yeah. What is it?
Sunday's 17-16 loss to the Raiders. Another one score loss for the Denver Broncos. The defeat. And I read this from Andrew Mason on DenverSports.com. The defeat was the Broncos' 35th one-score defeat in the last 6 years. 35 different game days. The Broncos lost by one score. No other team has more than 33 of those. And since the start of the 2021 season, so this is a little bit more recent here, since the start of the 2021 season, the Denver Broncos have 15 one-score losses. That's three more than any other team. And their 5-15 record since 2021, 5-15 in one-score games, is dead last in the NFL.
Bad teams find ways to lose games, Zach. And that's what it is, buddy. That's the way it is. Bad teams find ways to lose these games. Like look around college football. Look in the NFL. Like, yeah, the Broncos have been a bad team. They've been a bad product. So close games, guess what? You're going to find a way to screw it up. Somehow, some way. And, you know, different story, different day. Different story, different Sunday. Doesn't matter. Oh, it's one game, it's Gardner Minshew. One game, it's Russell Wilson just like, where the heck are you throwing the football, like against the Colts? Games like those, right, where you just find different ways to screw it up. But that's what bad football teams do, Zach, right? Good football teams, they win close games. Bad football teams lose them, okay? So I get it. They played a lot of close games, but that's maddening as a player.
Yeah.
You know, when you've been so close and you just like, it's you start becoming like that. Here we go again.
Yeah,
you know that's the mindset. Here we go again. This is what we do. Like, oh my gosh, the offense can't get it. You can't score a touchdown to finish it off, and then you know, so the defense is looking at them like, come on, guys, we're right there. All we need is a field goal. Oh, yep, there's our offense, and then the offense is looking like, defense, give us a stop. Oh, no, my defense can't get us a stop. So that's becomes the mindset, and that becomes the thought process as players.
Right. You're like waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Yeah.
You want to know what's crazy is that we're saying this about the Broncos on the heels of a loss to the Raiders. When I think of the Raiders, that's kind of what I think of, like, that team will find a way to screw it up. Just traditionally. It's just kind of like who they've been, and that's who the Broncos are. And we got a sample size of 6 years here, And it doesn't matter if you want to look from 2021 on or the last 6 years. Like, the Broncos have lost more one-score games than anyone else in professional football. And if you remember a year ago with Hackett, I started to call them, Hackett blowouts, because losing by one or two was just that was the norm. And of course, then we want to say, oh, you just tack on 3 points to every game, and Broncos are a playoff team. It doesn't work like that. Not last year. Not this year. Not 2019 or 2020. It just doesn't work like that. And I can't believe, I'm still, like, even a couple days later, I can't believe the Broncos screwed that game up on Sunday.
Yeah. And, we talked about it yesterday. I can't either. I just can't. I can just imagine for the players how frustrating, the coaching staff, how frustrating it is. Because you had that game. You had that game won. You did. And you just blew it. Because you don't know how games finish. You say one-score game or, three-point game, and it's like, if we just get three more points, well, guess what? Then the Raiders would have tried to go score. Raiders could have scored there late, possibly, if they wanted to win by eight.
Right.
So it's like you play this game, and it's just like it's pointless is what it is. It's really pointless. Doesn't matter. Okay, I mean, I like the stat because it says that, you're finding ways to lose close games, and that's what bad teams do, and that's what I know. I know the Broncos have been a bad team. They have, okay? They haven't even been close to being a good team. They never, ever, never, ever. And maybe like a three-game sample size, once or twice here, but they're a bad football team. Bad football teams find ways to lose close games, and that's what the Denver Broncos have done. Hopefully that stops, but playing those games of adding 3 points. Hell, let's just add 10 points, man. The Broncos would have been 16-1. I mean, come on. That's not the way it works. And it, like you said, it will never work like that. Every game is a one-off.
Yeah.
Every game is a one-of-one. And every game, is different. And we'll see what it looks like this week. But you can't just all of a sudden just give yourself extra points.
No, and that's why I don't understand, some of our colleagues at the station and beyond, for what we know about this team and everything that we've been through, to hear folks say, hey, no, I mean, it was the offense was really efficient. And if they just got more possessions, they would have scored more points. And it's like, that's doing something for you? That does nothing for me. I'm watching the game living in reality. Yeah, they only had 6 possessions. If they had 9, they would have scored more points. Okay.
Oh.
They didn't, though. And they're a part of the reason why they didn't. They're the main ingredient why that didn't happen. Both sides of the ball. So
both sides of the ball.
Yeah.
You had opportunities to, win the football game offensively. You had those.
Totally.
And you didn't.
Right.
It wasn't like you didn't have those opportunities. You did, and you failed. Once again, you failed when it mattered the most, both offensively and defensively. So, there's always, you have a lot of people that like to make excuses. A lot of excuses. It's always something.
It is. It is always something.
It's just maddening. Every year we're just trying to tell you, it doesn't matter. It's 1 year's injuries. Oh, my gosh. And then, next year it's this. And then it's like, oh, man, if we just add 3 more points, we need more possessions. And the defense has got to get stops for Russell to play good. And we need more talent around Russell for him to play good. It's not his fault. And it's just, Sean Payton screwed him. And this person screwed him. And this is not, set up good enough for him. And he's, it's everyone else's fault. And I'm not putting it on Russ, but I'm just saying, James in here, he's full of excuses. A lot of media around town are full of excuses about the injuries and all these other things. It's like, guys, it doesn't matter.
And no one cares.
No one. I mean, did that help Nathaniel Hackett?
No.
Did that help Vic? Did that help Vance? No. Either you win or you lose, and that's the bottom line. And the season's not going to stop for the Jets. They got to find a way to, try to get it done without Aaron Rodgers. And we're going to have more injuries here. So you just got to find a way to get it done. And that's the thing here. That's what's frustrating. They were on their way to doing it. Finding a way to get it done without your best playmakers, without Jerry Jeudy, and then without Dolchich. And, obviously they're not the best, most talented skill position guys.
But that's what we got.
Right, that's what we got. And I liked the way Sean Payton was dialing things up and calling plays, and it was working. And then they just didn't finish, and that's what's frustrating, because that would have been a nice win. Like,
oh yeah,
how they schemed it up and how they got it done, and Russ throwing those two touchdowns outside the pocket, and then you're right there, and then you just couldn't cross the finish line. You got so close, and that's what this league is. It's not a try hard league, like. Mark and Mike, I want to tell you. Mike's kind of switching, though. He wants results now. Mark is still okay with the try-hard league and patting people on the back and giving hugs. Nathaniel Hackett style. He's a hugger. He's a hugger now.
He is. Mark's very encouraged after Sunday. The Broncos will win a lot of games this year if they're that efficient on offense.
Man. Yeah.
All right.
16 points.
I mean, goodness gracious.
Does he want to
Mark
see more
knows
points?
Better. Mark knows better. That's the thing. Mark knows better.
He needs to apologize is what he needs to do.
I like that.
If he apologizes, okay? If he apologizes, we'll let him up and we'll shake his hand. And we'll shake his hand and we'll say, okay, I get it. We get it. Some people say something. We talk 3 hours a day. Sometimes you say something you regret. I probably shouldn't have said that.
Yep.
Right? So if he apologizes, we'll accept his apology and move on. But if he doesn't, he's in for a long season. That's all I got. And he's got till when's the deadline?
Tomorrow, 9 a.m.
Tomorrow at 9. Okay, he's got one day.
He's got
apologize.
One day.
And if he doesn't, it's going to be a bad year for him. It's going to be a bad year for him. So I think he might want to think about it. And those and friends of Mark need to reach out to him.
Yes.
And encourage him to apologize.
Text him right now. Wake him up from his nap.
Yes.
If you have Mark Schlereth's phone number, you text him right now and tell him to apologize for saying he is wildly encouraged about what he saw on Sunday and the Broncos are going to win a ton of games this year.
Yes. All right. We'll forgive him. But if not,
full steam ahead.
Man.
All right. It's going to be even harder to get the Broncos offense up to speed for week 2 after news that we received this morning. Details next.